Good morning, and welcome to Greater Good. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. The Greater Good Science Center studies the psychology, sociology, and neuroscience of well-being and teaches skills that foster a thriving, resilient, and compassionate society. And now, some articles from Greater Good. How Stories Change the Brain. Paul Zak's research is uncovering how stories shape our brains, tie strangers together, and move us to be more empathetic and generous. By Paul J. Zak, December 17th, 2013. Ben's dying. That's what Ben's father says to the camera as we see Ben play in the background. Ben is 2 years old and doesn't know that a brain tumor will take his life in a matter of months. Ben's father tells us how difficult it is to be joyful around Ben because the father knows what is coming. But in the end, he resolves to find the strength to be genuinely happy for Ben's sake, right up until Ben's last breath. Everyone can relate to this story. An innocent treated unfairly, and a protector who seeks to right the wrong, but can only do so by finding the courage to change himself and become a better person. A recent analysis identifies this hero's journey story as the foundation for more than half of the movies that come out of Hollywood and countless books of fiction and nonfiction. And if you take a look, this structure is in the majority of the most watched TED Talks. Why are we so attracted to stories? My lab has spent the last several years seeking to understand why stories can move us to tears, change our attitudes, opinions, and behaviors, and even inspire us. And how stories change our brains, often for the better. Here's what we learned. Why the brain loves stories. The first part of the answer is that as social creatures who regularly affiliate with strangers, stories are an effective way to transmit important information and values from one individual or community to the next. Stories that are personal and emotionally compelling engage more of the brain and thus are better remembered than simply stating a set of facts. Think of it as the car accident effect. You don't really want to see injured people, but you just have to sneak a peek as you drive by. Brain mechanisms engage, saying there might be something valuable for you to learn. Since car accidents are rarely seen by most of us, but involve an activity that we do daily. That is why you feel compelled to rubberneck. To understand how this works in the brain, we have intensively studied brain response that watching Ben's story produces. We have used this to build a predictive model that explains why, after watching the video, about half of viewers donate to a childhood cancer charity. We want to know why some people respond to a story while others do not, and how to create highly engaging stories. We discovered that there are two key aspects to an effective story. First, It must capture and hold our attention. Second, the second thing an effective story does is to transport us into the character's world. What makes a story effective? Any Hollywood writer will tell you that attention is a scarce resource. Movies, TV shows, and books always include hooks that make you turn the page, stay on the channel through the commercial, or keep you in a theater seat. Scientists liken attention to a spotlight. We are only able to shine it on a narrow area. If that area seems less interesting than some other area, our attention wanders. In fact, using one's attentional spotlight is metabolically costly, so we use it sparingly. This is why you can drive on the freeway and talk on the phone or listen to music at the same time. Your attentional spotlight is dim, so you can absorb multiple informational streams. You can do this until the car in front of you jams on its brakes and your attentional spotlight illuminates fully to help you avoid an accident. From a storytelling perspective, the way to keep an audience's attention is to continually increase the tension in the story. Ben's story does this. How will Ben's father be able to enjoy his son's last weeks of life? What internal resources will he draw upon to be strong and support his dying son? We attend to this story because we intuitively understand that we too may have to face difficult tasks, and we need to learn how to develop our own deep resolve. In the brain, maintaining attention produces signs of arousal. The heart and breathing speed up. Stress hormones are released, and our focus is high. Once a story has sustained our attention long enough, we may begin to emotionally resonate with the story's characters. Narratologists call this transportation, and you experience this when your palms sweat as James Bond trades blows with a villain on top of a speeding train. Transportation is an amazing neural feat. We watch a flickering image that we know is fictional, but evolutionarily, old parts of our brain simulate the emotions we intuit James Bond must be feeling, and we begin to feel these emotions too. Emotional stimulation is the foundation for empathy and is particularly powerful for social creatures like humans because it allows us to rapidly forecast if people around us are angry or kind, dangerous or safe, friend or foe. Such a neural mechanism keeps us safe, but also allows us to rapidly form relationships with a wider set of members of our species than any other animal does. The ability to quickly form relationships allows humans to engage in the kinds of large-scale cooperation that builds massive bridges and sends humans into space. By knowing someone's story, where they come from, what they do, and who you might know in common, relationships with strangers are formed. We have identified oxytocin as the neurochemical responsible for empathy and narrative transportation. My lab pioneered the behavioral study of oxytocin and has proven that when the brain synthesizes oxytocin, people are more trustworthy, generous, charitable, and compassionate. I have dubbed oxytocin the moral molecule, and others call it the love hormone. What we know is that oxytocin makes us more sensitive to social cues around us. In many situations, social cues motivate us to engage to help others, particularly if the other person seems to need our help. When people watch Ben's story in the lab, they both maintain attention to the story and release oxytocin. Nearly all of these individuals donate a portion of their earnings from the experiment. They do this even though they don't have to. This is surprising, since this payment is to compensate them for an hour of their time and two needle sticks in their arm to obtain blood from which we measure chemical changes that come from their brains. But it turns out not all stories keep our attention, and not all stories transport us into the characters' worlds. We ran another experiment that featured Ben and his father at the zoo to find out why. I should mention that Ben was really a boy with cancer who has now died, and that the featured father is really his father. In the zoo video, there is no mention of cancer or death, but Ben is bald, and his father calls him Miracle Boy. This story had a flat structure rather than one with rising tension like the previous story. Ben and his father look at a giraffe. Ben skips ahead to look at the rhino, but Ben's father catches up. We don't know why we are watching Ben and his father, and we are unsure what we are supposed to learn. People who watched this story began tuning out midway through. That is, their scarce attention shifted from the story to scanning the room or thinking about what to buy at the grocery store after the experiment concluded. Measures of physiologic arousal waned, and the empathy transportation response did not occur. These participants also did not offer much in the way of donations to charity. This evidence supports the view of some narrative theorists that there is a universal story structure. These scholars claim every engaging story has this structure called the dramatic arc. It starts with something new and surprising, and increases tension with difficulties that the characters must overcome, often because of some failure or crisis in their past, and then leads to a climax where the characters must look deep inside themselves to overcome the looming crisis. And once this transformation occurs, the story resolves itself. This is another reason why we look at car accidents. Maybe the person who survived did something that saved their life, or maybe the driver made a mistake that ended in injury or death. We need to know this information. How stories connect us with strangers. We also tested why stories can motivate us, like the characters in them, to look inside ourselves and make changes to become better people. Those who donated after watching Ben's story had more empathetic concern of other people and were happier than those who did not donate money. This shows there is a virtuous cycle in which we first engage with others emotionally that leads to helping behaviors that make us happier. Many philosophical and religious traditions advocate caring for strangers, and our research reveals why these traditions continue to influence us today. They resonate with our evolved brain systems that make social interactions rewarding. The form in which a narrative is told also seems to matter. The narrative theorist Marshall McLuhan famously wrote in the 1960s that the medium is the message, and we've found this is true neurologically. The video showing Ben with his father talking on camera is better at both sustaining attention and causing empathetic transportation than when people simply read what Ben's father has to say themselves. This is good news for Hollywood filmmakers and tells us why we cry at sad movies, but cry less often when reading a novel. Does any of this matter to you? We've recently used the knowledge we've developed to test stories that seek to motivate positive behavioral changes. In a recent experiment, participants watched 16 public service ads from the United Kingdom that were produced by various charities to convince people not to drink and drive, text and drive, or use drugs. We used donations to the featured charities to measure the impact of the ads. In one version of this experiment, if we gave participants synthetic oxytocin in the nose that will reach the brain in an hour, they donated 57% more of the featured charities and donated 56% more money than participants given a placebo. Those who received oxytocin also reported more emotional transportation into the world depicted in the ad. Most importantly, these people said that they were less likely to engage in the dangerous behaviors shown in the ad. So, go see a movie and laugh and cry. It's good for your brain and just might motivate you to make positive changes in your life and in others' lives as well. About the author. Paul J. Zak, PhD, is a distinguished professor at Claremont Graduate University and is in the top 0.3% of most cited scientists. Paul's two decades of research extending the boundaries of behavioral neuroscience have taken him from the Pentagon to Fortune 50 boardrooms to the rainforest of Papua New Guinea. In 2017, he founded Immersion Neuroscience, a software platform that allows anyone to measure what the brain loves in real that is used to improve outcomes in entertainment, education, advertising, and emotional health. He is a regular TED speaker and appears in the media regularly. You are listening to Greater Good Magazine, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. Do thank yous keep kindness going? New research finds that receiving gratitude may inspire you to help again, but not in every situation. November 21st, 2025. Gratitude statements like thanks, you are so kind, and thank you, what you did was really helpful, are common when someone receives assistance from another person. Such expressions of gratitude and appreciation have long been thought to encourage the helper to do kind things again in the future. But do they? In contrast to past research, Our new findings, published in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology, suggests that gratitude does not always promote future helping. Our research was conducted using a new approach called Registered Report. It required that the design of our experiment, along with our hypotheses and analytic plans, were vetted by experts before we started. This new best practice in science increases rigor and transparency. Expressions of gratitude. We conducted two large pre-registered experiments and found mixed results. In the first experiment, more than 600 university students recorded a short video to welcome a new student, played by a member of our research team, to campus. In response to this kind act, we sent participants one of three randomly assigned pre-recorded videos. Some participants received a video in which the new student expressed gratitude for the participant's kind act. "Thank you. What you did was very kind." Other participants received a video in which the new student expressed gratitude for the participant's kind character. "Thank you. You are very kind." Finally, some participants in a control condition received a video of the new student acknowledging that they had received the recording, but with no expression of gratitude at all. Afterward, all participants were invited to write up to five brief notes to welcome other new students to the university, which we treated as a measure of future helping behavior. Reception and kindness. By sending participants one of the three video replies, we were able to test two important questions about gratitude. Does receiving an expression of gratitude, regardless of whether it mentions your kind act or kind character, lead to more helping in the future compared with not receiving gratitude? Also, does the content of the gratitude matter? In other words, do some gratitude notes lead to more helping in the future than others? To find out, we compared how many welcome notes participants wrote across the three video conditions provided. We found no differences across conditions, which suggests that receiving a gratitude expression and its contents may not impact future helping. The results were in contrast to our predictions and past work by others. Written expressions. Welcoming new students is one way to be kind, but there are many other ways to help. So we conducted another experiment to test some key questions. Does receiving a gratitude expression increase future helping behavior? And does the content of the gratitude message matter? This time, however, we used written thank you messages instead of videos and measured helping in the form of donations. Over 800 adults recruited online completed an innocuous survey that provided an opportunity to complete an initial kind act of donating to a charity. 2 days later, participants were invited back to complete a second survey that began with what we told participants was a thank you letter from the charity they supported. Participants received one of three letters we had created for the purposes of our study. In the first study, some participants were thanked for their kind act. "Thank you. Your generous donation was very kind." Other participants were thanked for their kind character. "Thank you. You are very kind and generous." Once again, some participants did not receive a message of thanks, but were informed that the donation had been received. Participants completed a few other questions and were then given the opportunity to help again by deciding how much, if any, of an additional $1 bonus they would like to donate to the new charity. We compared donations across the three conditions and found that the people who received a thank you note gave more money than the people who simply received a message that their donation was received. Donation levels did not differ between the two types of gratitude expressions. People thanked for their kind act gave roughly as much, 42 cents, as people who were thanked for their kind character, 42 cents, which was higher than the 34 cents given by people in the control condition. You have been listening to Greater Good Magazine, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming your way from Sun Sounds of Arizona.